Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. Welcome, Louise Doorn from Hello Maas on the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Hello, Louise.
Hello. Nice to meet you, gentlemen.
Great to have you on our podcast. Can you do a little introduction on yourself and your company?
Yes, I'd love to. So I'm Louise Doorn. I've been working for about almost 20 years in marketing, always on the intersection of marketing, innovation, and strategy. I've done that at a lot of big companies, usually as an external consultant, but also at some firms as a leader in marketing. And then I kind of pivoted my career out of corporates and went into very large, well-funded startups. And most recently, about 18 months ago, I decided to take the plunge and found Hello Maas, Hello Marketing as a Service, which is a new platform to build marketing teams on demand and really help entrepreneurs, particularly in the SMB segment, to navigate through the jungle of all these different marketing channels and marketing tools that are changing all the time. And there is a huge opportunities we've seen in our research that we can really help these companies to understand where to play and how to play. And then we match them through our data set, but also increasingly through algorithms to make sure that we can build teams on demand, build around vetted marketing freelancers who you can not only hire per hour, but you can also hire them against a fixed price scope. So basically, in a nutshell, it's the marketing agency 2.0, and it's really built on the premise of exponential thinking. So we're really tapping into a very fast-growing segment of marketing freelancers, but really building reputation system and feedback loops to make sure that you as an entrepreneur can always work with the best people that are available in your market.
Cool. So I'm looking forward to hear everything about that. But before we dive into marketing as a service and Hello Maas, how has your journey been the last 18 months?
It's been a really interesting journey. So I live in New York, although I'm Dutch. And initially, I thought it was really interesting to build this company 100% remote because there is a big trend with digital nomads. And there's a couple of very successful startups, for instance, Buffer, who have been able to work with 100% remote teams. And also, New York is a very expensive city, both to get office space as well as get a great team. So I thought if I can find the best people in the world, not just the best people in New York, it allows me actually to lower my cost base. And then if we have 100% remote setup, it will allow us then to work, in kind of a remote setup. And initially that was, it was working well, but I kind of understood, and particularly when we decided to launch the company first in the Netherlands, that, this is a country where people really like to have a cup of coffee, meet in person, really understand what you're trying to do. Dutch are very curious. They ask you a lot of questions, which is great, but it's kind of, you miss that emotional connection when you try to do that stuff, through a remote setup. And actually a lot of clients don't want to do video conferencing or even just a conference call. So then slowly but surely I discovered that, doing this thing 100% remote is probably not the ideal setup for what we're trying to do. So we kind of did a little bit of a pivot, not necessarily around the product, but more the way we set up the organization. And as a result, we, set up shop. We have a office here in the Netherlands on a beautiful canal. And we're doing actually a lot of in-person meetings with the freelancers that are part of our community, but also with the clients. So that's kind of the discovery that we've had over the last 18 months.
Cool. Yeah, that's, I kind of recognize that. I've done a lot of business in the U.S. myself, and it's seems like the Dutch are a little behind on this because, when you schedule stuff like demos or meetings online in the U.S., it's usually done through Zoom or Skype, or you would just set up a Calendly event, and that mm-hmm. works very easily. Whereas in the Netherlands, it seems a little... but people need to see each other in person. But once mm-hmm. they have done one Zoom, my experience, they want another one. So because it saves costs, and that's what the Dutch are about, right?
I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, but I also think that 100% is you always have to have a human aspect in dealing with people. So I think that if you can do a lot of what is repetitive work or very operational, if you can do mm-hmm. that remote, that will be fine. Mm-hmm. But there's mm-hmm. always this alignment moment that looking in each other's eyes and reading all the non-verbal communication signals mm-hmm. brings you to a next step. That's at least my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. What we've seen is that our technology team is remote, and we would like to keep the remote team, working that way. And there's actually, we can do 24/7 development in that Brazil because we're people in South America, in Asia, and in Europe. So that's kind of nice. Also with software development, when you even have a software development team in your office, they actually work almost identical as a remote team. So they have GitHub, they have Trello boards, they have all kind of, different kind of tools to work very efficiently together. It's important to kind of meet in person once in a while. You can do it maybe once a year, do like a nice offsite. And we do like team video calls more on the strategy stuff, or if I as a CEO have a big announcement, we really invest time and we really use Slack as a tool, also to have kind of a water cooler moment, because that's important. And that's, I think what you refer to as a human element, that definitely you have to recognize these are just not code monkeys. These are, real people with real emotions and they want to contribute. So you need to be very intentional around that. But I do think software development is really kind of a key role that is much easier, I think, to do remotely than, for instance, doing marketing strategy. It's a very kind of convoluted process with a lot of inputs, a lot of ideation, and it's kind of nice to do that in a physical room together. Even though if you get into the execution of marketing, we actually have, teams on demand that we create for clients. And we do have a couple of clients, including corporate clients, that in the beginning, they would like the freelancer to come and work with them in person. But some of them, we have like one person now works in the Philippines, which is, time zone wise, not ideal with the Netherlands, but it's working out really well. And then we have, a young woman who lives in her van on a chateau in France, and she works for a corporate client. So increasingly, there are more stories around it. At the end, I think it's all about building trust, and trust doesn't always have to be because you sit physically in the same space. You can really build trust also through marketing technology tools.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
And so that I think is something that, I don't see a lot yet. And I do agree with you, the Netherlands can probably learn a little bit more from countries like the US, but also in Asia. They're very advanced with these things. And it can be to the benefit, because in the Netherlands, just trying to commute, in the train mm-hmm. or in the car every day, it's expensive. It takes a lot of time. It's stress inducing. And by allowing people to kind of work maybe in a hybrid when you come to the office one or two days a week versus like 5 days, I think also helps the productivity of everybody in the team.
Oh, yeah, and it picks up in the Netherlands. So we see that today, when I look at my own calendar, today I have 3 Zoom meetings, basically video meetings with 2 with prospective clients. So I think it's getting more and more accepted. It's also what we see in the, let's say, chats, etc. So we're into conversational marketing, chatbots like Drift, etc. Where you see that the US is like a year or two ahead of the Netherlands, but it will come here eventually. So
usually,
And then after a couple of years, it will be adopted in Germany. They're a little behind us. That's
who knows. Yeah,
actually, I've had that experience, but that's another topic. Well, you've seen some changes and learnings on your organization in the last 18 months. But what I'm curious to hear about is how have you used marketing technology in growing HelloMass?
Well, that's interesting question. I mean, I've been implementing a lot of big marketing technology tools, always as part of my innovation strategies with big companies, but also with smaller companies. You know, already back in 2003, I was building the content marketing organization, a new website for Rabobank, for instance. And we were the first one to actually have like a distributed content management team across multiple markets. And then tooling, of course, facilitates doing that. But at the end, you really have to train people and you have to bring them along that journey, because a lot of people think, oh, we have a tool, it's an efficiency play, it's the panacea to, you know, cost reduction. And in my, you know, long career implementing these tools, I think it's always about the people and it's about the business problem that you're trying to solve. And then a tool can definitely help to do that, but a tool can also conversely be a massive distraction, and people just start talking about processes all the time and about the tool implementation itself is going to turn into a goal, which, you know, is usually detrimental to the business. So I'm, you know, I think there's a lot of blessings in marketing technology, but I also do think there's a lot of curses, and you have to tread very carefully why you're implementing marketing tools. So that's just kind of a side note before answering your questions around how we implemented tools within Hello Math. You know, we're a startup and we're very cost efficient, and we try to just work really well together. So initially, the tools we implemented are all about, you know, team collaboration. And it's basically a set of tools that I think most startups use. So we have, for instance, the Trello board, which is a great way for everybody in the team to start adding ideas and then prioritize what you're working on and have that visibility to all your team members, regardless whether you're in the same office or not. And then you can move them around so you can see where you are in the process. And it kind of takes away the planning stage that maybe in the past you did in a Gantt chart or you did in some kind of Excel sheet. And now you're actually just putting the cards, you know, into this board, and it allows you then to not only think about the planning and the priority, but also share ideas and interact together with other teammates within those mini projects, so to speak. So I think Trello is a great board. Another one that we've used, and actually we started to use Airtable in the beginning, which is really great for marketing, because Airtable is kind of an overview, a tool of all different kind of campaigns. So for instance, if you have to organize a meetup, if you have to organize a new kind of marketing campaign. And, you know, there's a lot of set steps that you need to take into each of these. And usually just maybe 80% is the same, regardless whether you're a big company or a small company. So you can just use these templates, customize them based upon your specific goals. So that's usually the 20% that you need to customize. And then you can allocate all these mini tasks to your team members, and you can really track kind of who's working on what, but you reduce again time on the whole planning process, which, you know, is a great tool in itself.
Okay.
You know, we have Slack, obviously, which, you know, Slack, I think, is a really interesting product, but also I think there are some downsides, because what I've seen in some companies is that Slack is actually, you know, becoming a thing on its own, and then people are just using memes and, you know, water cooler stuff and just making jokes and sending YouTube videos around, and then, you know, that impedes productivity. You know, and of course it's cool to, you know, make a joke and stuff like that. You know, Giphy is really like something that we use a couple of times a day within the team, and it's fun. But I kind of think you have to be deliberate around, you know, how much do you communicate versus, you know, how much time do you actually have to get your real work done. But what we've seen is that Slack is really taking away time from emailing. And it's really great because it's radically transparent. So you can actually look in all the channels what's happening. And you can kind of gauge on like who's engaged, who's proactively doing stuff, and who's responding to whom. So I really like that kind of part, you know, running a startup. So those are kind of my three favorite tools. I mean, I have a whole bunch of other tools I can talk about for hours, but I kind of guess, yeah, those are my three favorite ones.
So I'm very curious to hear about, because what you're telling me, Hello Mass, seems like a superior idea to me. But to start something like this, am I right when I'm comparing it to like a marketplace for marketers, or?
Well, that's one part of it, but it doesn't do justice to the premise. I mean, there's tons of like freelancer platforms out there. Yeah. So we're not trying to compete with them, because what we're trying to solve is the question that an entrepreneur has. What do I need to do to build my brand, or what do I need to do to generate leads? That's usually, if you come, you know, bring down the marketing questions, it's usually one of two, right? Yeah, exactly. And then you can go to Upwork, or you can go to freelancer.nl, or you can go to all these like marketplaces. But usually these marketplaces are very generic. They usually have marketing people, but they also have developers and personal assistants and event planners. And, you know, it's very broad. Mm-hmm. And basically what it does, it brings people together that have certain skill sets. They have some matching algorithms. And then you as a client kind of need to search, or there's, you know, also maybe some people that can help you to find the right people. But it's you as a client really need to define what you need. And most people that we talk to in our research, they don't know what they need. They don't know if they need to go on Instagram. They don't know if they need a persona development. They don't know if they need a customer journey mapping. They don't know what kind of paid media channel might be the most effective for them. So they can maybe think that they know what they want, or they've seen a shiny object, or they heard something at a cocktail party, like, oh, you really need to get into voice marketing. And they start from, you know, the wrong side in this whole process. So we are building software to basically take the archetype marketing brief that you would send to an agency, but we turn it into a conversational agent, like a chatbot, mm-hmm. that asks you basically the questions that a brief would ask you. But then it picks up all these data points along the way that is matching then against our planning database. And then it gives you recommendations based upon where you are in the process, what your goals are, what your budget is, and what you've done to date. So then you get basically the brain of, you know, a whole group of people, you know, in the chatbot that can help you then to start an efficient marketing planning process. So then we might say, well, if you haven't really done any, you know, positioning, or if you haven't done any customer journey, maybe it's something that you want to do. And then we have people in our network, in our membership, that, you know, have done this before, and they've done it in your industry. And then they can help you either on a per hour basis, or, you know, there might be people that created a package, for instance, to create a customer journey. And you can buy the package rather than buying the hours. So that is a very different way how to solve this problem. And also what we're doing is we're vetting everybody that's on our platform. So a lot of these freelancer marketplaces, they say, yeah, we got like 17,000 freelancers. Well, it's great, but you don't even know what the quality of these people are. And particularly in marketing, which is kind of becoming more and more complex, you kind of have to understand what people's strong suits are and in for what type of client they can work best. Mm-hmm. So we're actually, you know, either interview the people ourselves through our customer success team, or we have a very trusted partner, BrandPit, who is a very well-respected digital marketing recruitment firm. And also they, you know, we co-brand basically with them. So there's also people in their network that are part of our community. But the red thread across is that every single person, you know, is vetted and is at a certain level. And then we have all these tools to help, you know, the entrepreneurs to understand, you know, where to play and how to play. And then we bring these on-demand teams. And I think the word team is also very important, because a lot of freelancer platforms are just, you get one person that does the job, but a lot of marketing requires multiple skill sets. Like if you want to get into a lead generation campaign, yeah, you can get a great person that, you know, knows a lot about targeting on Facebook, but then you still need somebody that is also very good in creating the asset. So it could be a video, it could be, you know, just a banner, but you have to look at the copy. Like, is the copy on brand? Is the visual identity on brand? And it's hard to find all these different traits in one person. Mm-hmm. So this is also where, and this is just a very small example, like usually the campaigns are a little bit more complicated. And then it's kind of nice to say, hey, we want to launch this new product. We don't want to go to a whole agency and do an agency review because it takes too much time. And also, you know, we might not have the budget to go to an agency because, you know, agencies have a lot more sunk cost and, you know, they have account people and nice offices. We kind of say, okay, let's build a squad team on demand of like maybe three people. So we have like a performance marketer, a content copy person, and a strategist. And they can just sit together as a squad team, work with one client, let's say two or three days a week for 2 or 3 months. And collectively, as this team on demand, they can actually achieve a lot in a relatively short time.
Luis, it's a very interesting story because if I get it right, I am a company and I actually say, what is my problem? Or I want to generate more leads. And then I tell Hello Mass or tell you about it. And then you pick the right people and the right tools to get the results or solve their issue. And everything what's in between, you take care of. Is that?
Yeah, partly. The tool part is not something we have in place yet. This is definitely on our roadmap. But you are correct. Yeah. But you are correct around the planning process. So we have a playbook prototype. It's not live yet, but we're working very hard on it to launch it this summer. And we can actually use already the prototype through our planning, but we actually do the intake, you know, through a Zoom or through a Google Hangout or through a cup of coffee at our office in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. But we actually go through the same questions as if you were to do on the chatbot. And then we have this whole Excel sheet that is, you know, turned now actually into a database that actually does then the matching. And then we kind of give you a recommendation like, okay, you haven't done any research. You know, depending on your budget, we would recommend you to do this type of research. And then here we have somebody that can actually do it for you. And that person can do it within a week. And this is what you're going to get. And it's going to cost you €1,500. And you can actually buy now. So we also have like the whole e-commerce functionality. And so by doing so, you don't have to commit as an entrepreneur or a business owner to say, okay, I need to commit to like 10 or 15 or $50,000, you know, dollar or euro campaign budget. You can kind of say, okay, first I want to actually test drive this platform because it's new. I don't know. So let's just do, you know, a strategy person and a research person. And then the result is going to be, you know, a brand strategy research, including then a strategy proposal. And then you can combine that into, you know, one package, you know, might be 5,000 euros or 10,000 euros. And then you already have one step into the whole process. And then, you know, you get to the next gate. And then the next gate could be, okay, let's go a little bit more into channel planning. And then we've identified like 5 channels, which is have a high propensity for you to meet your target. And then we can do some channel planning, right? And then you can kind of, every single time you have like a gate, and we can kind of build, you know, that team on demand for you. And you can decide if you kind of want to have a trusted advisor along the entire process, which most of our clients actually like. So that's usually the strategist that also have, you know, program management capabilities. And that person then basically builds that team on demand based on the goals and then the needs, and then you get into a more operational cadence over time.
Luis, question. How do you select that ideal MarTech team of marketing team for a customer? Is that based on algorithms or something like that? Or is it a real person, like the recruiter or so, that... If this is your problem, or and then these are the people you need to know.
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, thanks for asking. Yeah, it's not an algorithm yet. It's definitely us doing it handpicked because we just launched a couple of months ago. I really like to make sure that every single project that we do with clients is turning into success. And also, we have to understand the thought process of the clients. What's important for them, you know, to get a team that they trust. So we're learning a lot through those interactions.
but then based upon the outputs, we're actually using it as data points to feed the system. What we are also building is reputation system. So we're doing a lot of research around, performance reviews, ratings and reviews. There's a lot of, different things, how you can rate effectiveness of people. But we really want to build this in like an equal way. So it's, beneficiary for the freelancer, but also beneficiary for the client. So we're now building this 360 review, and what we call, it's more of a temperature check, and it's based on agile development, where you do these retrospectives, usually every 2 weeks. You kind of sit together with the team and you've identified, these are the things that went really well and these are the things that we should improve. And then we kind of add our twist to it, which is a temperature check. We have a slider on three attributes. So the slider could be like output, the scale from 1 to 10, like, are you happy with the output that you've provided? Are you happy with the way you communicate with the rest of the team or with the client? And then the third one, we're still debating what we're going to do. We have a couple of options. But this is a very low touch way to get feedback from everybody that is working on that project, including the client and maybe even in-house marketers. And based upon those data points, you can actually understand where is kind of maybe the tension arising in the project. And then we can prevent that by giving people the feedback to kind of say, hey, we see a huge delta between, 2 weeks ago and this week. Maybe you guys should think about your communication style, for instance. So it's much more kind of preventive. Also all these data sets will then help on the visual level to kind of see, hey, this one person that worked on these type of projects and delivered these kind of fixed price services, we can see these kind of trends around the data. That means that person is probably really good in these kind of circumstances. And then we can even give a recommendation to the freelancer to say, well, maybe you should actually increase your hourly rate because it seems that you're doing a fantastic job when you're in that environment. So maybe you should consider doing that because the market is probably willing to pay for that. So those are all kind of things that we don't have in the market today, but they're all in our product roadmap. And by doing so, we really would like to, build an equitable marketplace. So it's really fair to the freelancer, and it's also a great insight that they get feedback on their work, because it's the biggest thing we learned in our research. Most freelancers don't get any feedback on their performance, and they're really insecure around that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I would like also to know a little bit, how do you think that the marketplace for marketeers, or do you see that there's going to be a big shift from in-house marketeers to more outsourced marketeers with platforms like yours? Because it's quite difficult to get marketeers, especially marketeers that are not only skilled with marketing or the traditional marketing skills, but also more with the tooling part, the technology part. Mm-hmm. We've noticed that it's difficult to get the right people for that. Do you think that that will change dramatically in the coming period, or is this more like a sliding slope and in due time more and more will be outsourced instead of in-house? What's your opinion on that for, let's say, the coming future?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we definitely put our bets on the fact that a lot of bigger companies would like to build a flexible layer around their core teams. There's a big trend that a lot of big brands are building in-house marketing teams. I built one in New York. That's totally understandable because particularly data plays such a big important role right now and will continue to become even more important. And combining your first-party data with third-party data and doing that in-house is very powerful. And also some of these toolings, like either having a DMP or a DSP in-house, is where you see the bigger brands are going. And then just the combination of your CRM system with what you're targeting on social media, and those all kind of things are data-related, but it's really powerful to have that in-house. And then also, you need to have people that are passionate about your brand. So that's more on the software side where you have, you know, positioning, ideation, and also with the ongoing feedback loops through social, you kind of need to be on top of things and have a team that can be sure responsive to that. So I'm a big believer, particularly for bigger brands, to build in-house marketing capabilities. But to your point, there is such a strong proliferation of channels and particularly tools that it's very hard and maybe not even desirable to bring all those skills in-house. So for instance, if you need to deploy like a new CRM system, or you want to deploy Intercom, it's kind of a connector between a lot of different communications that's happening with your clients. Like, you probably want to have like a SWAT team that has done that before, and you kind of bring them in-house to do that, maybe in a 3 to 6 month project, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can do it smarter and faster, and you can bring your internal team along the route, and you don't have to take your internal resources off a special project. So the clients that we talk to, and also the investor that invested in our company, they talk to big brands and their CMOs, and they basically said, no, it would be nice to have maybe 70 or 80% of our current teams, you know, still employed, and those are usually more the strategic roles, and then kind of build together with a platform like HelloMass that, you know, flexible layer around it with either very specialist skills, or if you have the need to get more people because you have a big campaign, it's very busy in retail in Q3, you know, there's all these reasons with a new product introduction, you kind of want to have an extra layer of people. And then also what is often forgotten but very important is that if you bring people from the outside in, they also bring their ideas, and they are usually customers, particularly with bigger brands, of your products. So you actually get kind of additional insights and customer development by bringing, you know, freelancers into your organization for a finite period. And so there's a lot of advantages around it, and you can, you know, dial it up and dial it down on a more as-needed basis.
Yeah, so what you're actually saying is that have strategic generic marketeers in-house.
Mm-hmm.
For that, like, that's the 70%. But the real specialists, you hire them.
Yeah, I mean, I would say generic as in, like, you know, have a head of content marketing who really understands content marketing. Get somebody who really understands paid media for these bigger brands, you know, because they have sometimes hundreds of marketers in-house. So I think you can be more specialist than even. But on you know, a more strategic level, so they can really translate the overall brand strategy or the overall marketing goals, you know, into their roadmap, and then kind of define, oh, I really need to work on project X that requires either a squad team on demand, or it requires getting people with very specific skill set because it's a new channel, and it's something we haven't done in house. So you kind of want to build from scratch in the right way and prevent, you know, reinventing the wheel on your own dime at the time.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Louise. I think time flies.
Time flies, but I think I have one more question for you, Louise, because we started with you saying that you had just started your 18-month journey into entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a top three recommendations for people that are about to start their adventure as an entrepreneur at the moment?
Wow, that's a very broad question, but I'd love to answer it. At the end, you just have to be all in, and you really have to, you know, drive it from a sense of purpose. Like, I left a very high paying job, you know, with a lot of credibility that surrounds it, to do this. And I haven't paid myself for 2 years, you know, so you make, it has a lot of impact on your private life, on your financial life. So you have to be like all in, and I would recommend people to really do a lot of research around the problem that you're trying to solve, and also ask yourself and look in the mirror, like, is this really the problem I want to solve for the next 5 years? Because mm-hmm. that's at least the amount of time it takes to get to a potential exit, if that's what you want to do,
sure.
Or at least build the company to a size. So I would say, you know, be very honest to yourself, but also be bold, be brave, do it. because it's like I enjoy it so much, because you can decide, you know, who to work for, what problem to solve. But, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. It's really, you know, it's going to take up a lot of your time. So you might as well, you know, enjoy the problem that you're solving.
Cool. So thanks again for being on the show. Thanks for your advice. If people want to reach out to you and after hearing this podcast, where can they reach you?
Yeah, they can find me on LinkedIn. So my name is Louise Doorn. That's Doorn for the Dutch people. That's usually not a problem, but for Americans it is. So Doorn. I'm on Twitter, Doorn, my last name. You can send me a DM. Or the best way is to go to our website, www.hellomaas, that's MAAS.com. So it's MAAS as in marketing as a service.
We'll put that in.
.com. Yeah. And then we have a chatbot. You can talk to our team. And I'm happy to talk to anybody that would like to get some advice on their marketing strategy, whether you are an entrepreneur from a small company or a large company, or if you're a marketing freelancer and you really want to solidify and future-proof your marketing career, we would love to talk to you.
Cool. Thank you, Louise Doorn.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.